sanctuary before you.
Singing it to him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Will you?
Sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Just make me your sanctuary, Lord. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back to Revelation 3. We'll read verse 14 and then turn to Matthew 3. Revelation 3, Matthew 3. Just now remember that the Lord willing, Brother Daniel will be preaching for us this coming Wednesday, so keep him in mind. And I was trying to make this coming Monday being New Year's Day, but it is Christmas Eve Day. So I was meaning that we should, you know, I was wanting to tell you to have a good Merry Christmas. And I wound up giving you Happy New Year. So, you know, that'll work out. It'll get here when it gets here. We're not worried about that. It'll get here when it gets here. But just remember that and just pray that the Lord would bless and guide each one. Revelation 3 and Matthew 3. Father, we thank you. We love you. We know that in the day and the hour that we're living, that you are trying your best to manifest yourself among us. And Father, just make us worthy to receive the great thing that you would give to each and every one of us as the parts of the body of Jesus Christ here in this little building, that you would be given your presence, your understanding, your person to each and every one of us by the new birth. And Father, just have your way now. Come and speak to our hearts. And Lord, bless the sick. We know there's sick among us. And you said you sent your word and healed them and delivered from destruction. So we believe you. We thank you. Guide each and every one now. Keep us. Forgive us when we fail you, because we know we do so much. But yet we know that you are making intercession upon our confession. Our confession today is that we are the body of Jesus Christ. So then, Lord, confess that back and make it manifest among us. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. And guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now go to Matthew 3. And we'll read verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, the notes that we gave out this morning, if any of them need them, we have been trying to bring down a point. As I say, in this morning now, we want to repeat again the point of what we're trying to say. And I see somebody back there with us, and I don't know, has she been here with us before? Oh, that's her mother. Okay. Hey, she looks a whole lot younger. So I get in trouble one way, but I can get out of it. See? Good to see you again, sis. I thought I recognized her, but from here sometimes it gets kind of, you look back there and you wonder, well, who is that, you know? And the light shine on your face and all, but good to see you there, sis. But we're trying to get a point. Now, this is my point, okay, that I'm trying to bring to you. When we're reading the church age, or the salutation to the age, I want to keep repeating this because I want you to see it. This is the only age that comes to a true manifestation of the salutation or revelation to the age that you're living in. All the others were looking forward. They would get it as partial. They would get it as, you know, for their day and time. Amen. We believe that. But this age gets the revelation while we are alive. See? And then you'll see what I keep saying that in the message as we go along, because see, then that way, if it's true now, listen, if it's true that we get the revelation for our age while we're alive, the completeness of the revelation for this side of the world, you know, and can reach the position of the overcomer of that age, then you'll realize that truly Hebrews 11:40 is right. All right? That they, without us, cannot be made perfect. You realize what I'm saying? See, each age, even though they would get the revelation of the age, even though they could manifest that, and the things would come to them of the overcomer, and how they would overcome the day and the hour they were living, and would be kept from the things and all. But still, this age, we reach it while we're alive. The others had to die and go by the grave, waiting on you and me. Alright? So they're depending on us to reach the revelation of the day that we're living. And by reaching that revelation, then we can step into a manifestation. See? Because they didn't get now. Listen, it's hard to try to preach by revelation because people misunderstand you. But see, each age didn't get into the fullness of what was for that age. You know, that even was spoken of. Look at Luther and go into the fifth church age and read what the salutation to the Lutheran age, and look at him come out of there being a Trinitarian and teaching the Trinity doctrine and the eternal hells and the things of the Catholic Church, and just barely catching a point of the just shall live by faith. But yet it was for the birth of that age. But see, we reach ours here. I'm not thinking about it, not teaching about trying to get you and I to heaven. Right? Heaven has to come here. There has to be a powerful quickening of God's Word and the things until the prophet said that God would be visible among us. Now, he didn't say corporal because it doesn't come. We meet the corporal body in the air. But he said he'd be visible among us and raise the dead and we'd go in the rapture. All right? See, then it's not something that we're just playing along like all the other ages. We must attain unto the perfection of the age that we're talking about. Our completion. Because the word perfect, see, means complete. All right? See, we must reach the full maturity while we're alive. You say, well, I just can't see it, Brother Dale, because it looks like it's getting worse and worse. Well, it probably is for everybody but the bride. Because only the bride's going to get it. And if it's getting worse and worse for you and you can't see anything, I'd be checking up to see whether I was a bride or not. Because you've never heard me preach anything like that down. I know we're getting worse. I know things are getting worse. I know around the world it's getting worse. I know the economy, all of the things are falling apart. Right. But still, that doesn't mean I have to fall apart. You say, well, you will when you ain't got no money. Well, I lived when I didn't have any. I mean, I lived when we had a dime to go to school, and that was to buy me something to drink with, and lucky to get the dime. A lot of days I didn't get it. You know? Well, see, it doesn't bother me to say we're going to have to give up everything. Well, it's all right if it means for the glory of the Lord. Amen. We're not stupid. We're not ignorant people. We don't, well, we'll just become, we'll just sit around just waiting. No. We keep right on going until Christ comes for the church. See? All right, we keep going because that's what we're supposed to do. But all right, now, to try to save time on the background, but just to say a few words. See, this age, the revelation to this age, the salutation, is that He is the faithful and true witness. And you and I, then, now, do you remember the message a few weeks ago? See, then if you and I can receive the revelation in the correct order and it be made manifest, then we're not just speaking of something to come. We are a true witness. A true witness. Not a partial witness, as they had to in the ages or something, but a true witness to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, we're looking for something to happen when God says it's already happened. The prophet said, and watch it in a minute when I hit it. He said, your resurrection lays inside of you.
Right, that's right,
well, one of these I'll be dead. No, no, we're resurrected from the inside out.
That's right. Amen.
But it's the words you're receiving is what's
right.
Taking place. See, then that way, He's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, we went through to cover the all of how that the Word in the beginning was the beginning of the creation of God. And how did it come down? And then this morning we got down to where that we were bringing it to the beginning of the creation of God being the body that was formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That she had two wounds, according to spoken word, original seed. She had a spiritual wound to receive the Word. See? Her mind was pure to the Word. She had heard the Word and she believed it. All right? And then she had a pure physical wound to be able to produce the body. And that she had nothing to do with that production of that body. She didn't even have anything to do other than the word she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't have to have anything to happen in her body. She didn't have to have any sensations. The first sensation she got in her body was probably months later when she realized it. You know, that something was taking place. But see, then that would to bring, as we brought out, the prophet saying, that would bring forth the beginning of the creation of God. God in creation is what I'm talking about. And we'll just title this number two of that, of the title, God in creation. Making the message number 33. God in creation, because that's what we're talking about. We talked about the beginning of the creation of God. Now we're talking about God in creation. He used the creation to reveal Himself. Then He comes in to His own creation. Buries a womb to be born from, to bring forth a body. Then that body would be the beginning of the creation of God. Now the body was. The soul and spirit was already God. The soul and spirit was in the original creation of God in the beginning. See? When God began to condescend. But the body now is the beginning of the creation of God. A human body to where God could dwell in it. See? That way He could be my brother. Melchizedek was a human body. Yeah, spoke into existence, spoke out of existence. No virgin birth. See? That would not make him kinfolks to me. See? All right, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He's my brother. See? That body was the body of very Almighty God. And the body had a beginning. So now you're correct. And when the prophet gets into saying it, he said, see there? Said Melchizedek had no beginning of days and no ending of life. He said, but see, Jesus, he said, Jesus had a father, and Jesus had a mother. Said he had a time that he begun, and said he had a time that it would end, or didn't end like we call the word end, but had a time that body had to be changed. Because that body was not eternal. And even when the Holy Spirit, as these are, or the people are teaching of the River Jordan, even with the River Jordan, of the anointing that comes on. They still didn't make the body eternal, but a wonderful thing happened that we'll get to in a minute.
Sure, that was the most marvelous position of all the scriptures. Because there's where God proved who he was. He didn't have to wait till he died. He proved who he was right there. Because he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But I wish we could get it through our spiritual thinking to where we would realize that when God gave us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, that he said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He done something right there. Watch as it's done in the Lord Jesus, and you'll see what happened in you. Then you'll see why the prophet said, your resurrection's inside of you. Because something took place. All right, now we'll get to that in a minute, see. All right, God created himself a body, a little baby, little Jehovah crying in the cradle, little Jehovah out playing, little Jehovah as a child, living among mankind to where he would know what we go through. That way the scripture would be right when it says he sympathizes or succor us, sympathize with us. He understands what it is to be sick. He was sick. All right? See, because that way he would be, you know, like or be God in humanity to be able to understand. You remember the story the prophet told about the king that wanted to be able to understand his subjects better. And one day he just laid his crown down off the throne, walked down off the throne, went right out among the people and lived a while among the people to be able to be a better king over his people. Well, see, that's what God done. He came down. It took him 4,000 years to bring a body into existence that he could come and dwell in and say, I'm pleased to dwell in it. He was pleased with Moses and Abraham and all, but not pleased to dwell in them like this. Because their body was as a part, now watch the point, their body was a part of the old creation. Now you better remember one thing. Until we get a change, our body is still a part of the old creation. But I'll quote, I'll show you in a minute where the prophet said, God is no longer dealing by the old creation. But the body you're living in is still the old creation, just like it was back there. It's because you got a new birth. That don't make your body eternal. And because Almighty God lived in that human vessel, it didn't make that vessel eternal. He had to wait until it could be made eternal in the resurrection. All right? See, then, but watch what takes place. All right. So then we try to bring it down to get to one point. The Lord Jesus Christ was born. That was the last quote we were giving you. That, you know, that let's see, it was on 137 Church Age Book, which was number 7 on your notes. How that he came and died. He came to live. A purpose for death. A body was created for the purpose of death. To where he could taste death for you and I. He couldn't do that as Melchizedek. It wouldn't work. But now he is kinfolks to us. Melchizedek was not kinfolks. Melchizedek was a body spoken in, spoken back out. The Lord Jesus Christ is kinfolks. It made him a kinsman redeemer, where the book of Ruth would be correct. All the things would be to where that we could see what would be taking place. All right. Now, he lived through his life. That body now being the beginning of the creation of God. God creating a body to live in. Now, I told you this morning about the building of the temple back there. Well, think about it, see. Down through 7 church ages, he's been building a body to live in. All right? He's building a body to live in. He's building a body in you to live in through the stature of a perfect man. Right. So God didn't quit creating. That's the point I want you to see right now. See, we look at the old physical creation. And we see that God created the world. He created the animals. He created this. Created the days. Created the nights. Created all things. And then finally created man. We think he just quit creating. No, he didn't. He created a body back there and stepped into it called Melchizedek. Then he created a body to come and live in it called Jesus. So he didn't quit creating. Then, as you'll see, he's still creating. Because he's dealing in me and you. Right? Creating a body to live in. That's why he doesn't come back in a corporal body to the earth. Because he's got a body. Who? You and I. That would make him two bodies and it wouldn't fit the scripture. So we meet the body in the air. But remember, he'll be visible among us and raise the dead. What? Through the opening of the Word. Alright. So then it would come down to that part. Okay. So now this baby, this body, this child that we talk about, that child was the beginning of the creation of God. Adam was God's example child in the beginning. He wanted all mankind to be like Adam. Is that true? Because Adam was the ruler of the earth. See, that was lost. But in this one, see, he comes forth to give the example, son, to what? He wants all of his children to be. So I said this morning that these great big hunks of a man, you know, everything, no, that's not man. The man Christ Jesus was the man. The one that could take a spit in his face and turn around and die for you and I. And say, Father, forgive him. That's a man. See, that's the kind that God wants. He doesn't want all this other stuff of how much super duper we are. How much we know and what we can do and everything. No. Anointed ones can get all into that realm. No. He wants sons and daughters of a living God. For the nature, character, and everything of God dwelling within them. Because a son of God today is not no different than a son of God was back there. The only difference is because of the body that he was in. But remember, he was in a mortal body. That son of God came down to earth to live in a body. Because he was called a son before he ever come into the world as a human flesh. Then when he was here, he never called himself the Son of God. He kept referring to himself as Son of Man. The thing that throwed everybody off. And it throwed off until the end time. See, to understand. So we're down here at the end of the message of the hour. But see, then that man, that child, grew up to be a man. The Bible said becoming 30. So he was about 29 and a half years old. He entered his ministry. And as he did, see, that's why he could be born in April, crucified in April, and preach 3.5 years and not break up the ministry like people say, because he entered the ministry 29 and a half. And then he preached 3.5 years. See? All right. See, the Bible gives you the answer if you just wait on the answer. If not, you're going to say born in April, crucified in April. That's 30. That's the best you can do. But no, if you start him in his ministry, 29 and a half. Now, but that's where we want to pick up right now. Because, you know, you can spend a lot of time going through the childhood and the things. But that's why we read over on the happening on the River Jordan. And that's the conflict, and I'm not going to get into a lengthy thing about it because I don't care. That's their business. I'm just trying my best to get enough out for me and you to be able to follow and walk therein. I am responsible for you to tell you when doctrines are around and everything, but I still don't have no argument with anybody. I have no problems with anybody. You believe what you want to believe, that's your choice. I don't ask my wife to believe what I believe. I ask her to believe what God would give to her. But I think it's about time to narrow the thing down to say, if you don't believe like me, you got problems.
Amen.
That hurts, don't it? That cut a lot of throats, wouldn't it? Because they're not going to believe like I do. But if I'm right, if I'm wrong, they don't have no problem. But if I'm right, that's their problem. Because you see, I've made myself open to everybody, you know, to listen, to try to understand what they were preaching and things when I didn't even agree with them. I tried to understand. And see, I just can't help being what I am, because that's what God gave me, and I just try to tell you what I am and what I believe, you know. And I can't do anything else. But now listen. While everybody was arguing years ago on the two-soul doctrine, and they were arguing over how many souls you had and what this was and what that was, you was born with this and born with that, and that's born this way and born that. I remember when those days happened, and I began to study the message. I thought, well, okay. If they're talking about all these souls, there must be something true here. You know. And the Lord revealed to me then, not that he had a soul, but that's what he was. Because the word soul is person. So they didn't realize how many they say in two persons, you know, inside, all this, that, and the other. But while they were arguing about those things, God was revealing to me the truth about himself. And then what we are by the new birth. See, and when all this started happening with the River Jordan and all these other doctrines all the way down through, I just sat back and wait and just kind of see what's going on, you know, and just kind of watch things and listen. And then out of it all, it always comes out to bring something to where that it'll be a wonderful thing once it's revealed. And I believe the River Jordan there that we read about, you know, where he's talking about on the River Jordan where the Lord Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God came down like a dove and all like that. I believe that. That's wonderful. I believe it. It's a wonderful, marvelous place in the Scripture because a wonderful thing took place. All right? But see, while they were dealing with it, that what took place made him God. I believed he was born God. Always had been God. And always would be God. So I didn't have no problems. But I began to meditate upon the things back over the years of what's been preached by, you know, a lot that's tried to preach the truth. And it began to lighten up to me of one thing. Something wonderful happened right there on the River Jordan. A marvelous position in the Scripture took place. What happened there that would be related to you and I? Now remember the message to the age that we're in. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Now speaking of the body, in this situation, right? The body was born from the womb of Mary. Speaking of the body, now, I told you, we've uncovered the beginning of the creation going all the way back to before the world and come down and all. We're dealing now with what the beginning of the creation of God related to this church age. For you and I to see. A marvelous thing would take place. All right? And it takes place at the River Jordan. See? All right? So what does he do? Now, I may just get this and have to preach something else later because that's all right. But what happened on the River Jordan? What took place that would be marvelous to us? That would give an opportunity for a human mortal to see a wonderful thing and to be a part of it. And it would be to our age. So then in doing that, we watch what takes place to that body. Are you listening? So that body's the beginning of the creation of God, right? So now what takes place to that body will have a wonderful relationship to you and I if we understand it and get it in the correct order. So what happened? I gave you, or quoted this morning, it's off of God Keeps His Word, 1957. where Brother Brown said in soul he was God, in body he was a man. Then off of a message called Faith in 1961, he said that spirit that was in him, I didn't give you these to read now, that spirit that was in him was the spirit in sundry times and divers manners. He spake to the fathers and the prophets. Alright. But now that body was the beginning of the creation of God. Now listen. A beginning of a new race. Jesus Christ was not the old race made over. That's what they're saying about River Jordan. See, that he's just a man like we are until the River Jordan, and then he becomes God. See, then that makes him of the old race. No matter what you want to try to make it, you're making him of the old race or old creation. He was in no form of the old creation. That's what your prophet said. He wasn't dealing by old creation. He was dealing by a new creation. So he created the egg and the sperm, buried the womb, placed that new creation into that womb to where it would come forth and produce a body. Right. That body is relation to our bodies. Now, he's my brother in that he could give me a blood transfusion. That's wonderful. You know, you just have a problem with the blood type because nobody didn't know what that was. You'd have trouble there, but still, it's just the point of looking at it. But see, really, he's not completely my brother until I have a body like his body.
Right.
You notice where I said it now? He's not completely my brother until my body is like his body.
Right.
He could come and give, all he could do was die. He couldn't give me a new life at that time. He couldn't even reveal nothing at that time. Then my own life didn't reveal that unto thee. So really in the resurrection, we'll have bodies, the Bible said, like unto his glorious body. And then he'll be my brother. Now he's only my brother in the basis that he would look like me. He would look like the humanity. He would be built like humanity. He would have all of the working mechanisms of the human body. The, what do you call it? The anatomy of the body? Is that the word for it? To where that you, that he would be like us. But there's no DNA connection to any human. So there's no need of fooling with it that way. But to watch that body. And we see that what happened was, now he comes up to the time of the, you know, the little boy in the temple. The Bible said that he went home and was subject to his mother and father. You know, naturally things. See, Mary and Joseph. All right. Even though he had said, I must be about my father's business. The Bible said he went home and was subject unto them. And children, that ought to give me and you and all of us adults too a lot to think about. That you could stop right there and preach a whole sermon on making ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable sacrifice, because that's what he done. He brought his body under subjection. In body, he was a human element. All of the parts, everything was there. He could have had a wife. He had all the parts. You understand me? But see, instead of that, he brought all of that under subjection for the purpose of you and I. Knowing that you and I wouldn't never bring ours totally under subjection. He said, wait a minute now. I said what I meant and meant what I said. to the day these bodies will change, we're going to have trouble with these bodies. Now, we can bring them under subjection that we don't live like the devil. But don't worry about it. The devil's going to be there. When you cast him off of one thing, he'll be back on you on another. And you're going to have problems. But we're not dealing with that. But let's watch that body and what took place on the River Jordan. And watch it connect to you and I and to the revelation of the end time that we speak about. And why that he would have to be the Son of Man. And the relationship that he would have to the human element. The word that there would be a possibility that this human element could someday be changed. Right. Well, see, watch what took place now. Look at number 8 on your notes. You'll see why I just stopped this morning. Because I knew there was no need of going on. I'll read this, and I'm going to reread this and again after a while, so don't think I'm just playing around. It's doubly in there. But listen to what he says. Proving his word, 1964:0816. Now we find that God came into this little cell, see? And he began to develop cells, drew from his mother's vitamins and things as she. Then when he became old enough to eat himself, he began to eat. And what is that? It's the dust of the earth, which you come up and plant life and animal life and so forth. And as he began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, he began to develop cells. And then when it's fully matured at 30 years old, he was baptized in obedience to John down here, or to God, in the water and went out. And what happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in." What did he come to do? And watch him, he asked a question. I circled that one on your thing. See? What did he come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. Now what did God come to do? What did the Holy Spirit come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. You say, wait just a minute now. He wasn't a sinner. He didn't need redemption. No, he didn't. But he needs eternity. See, you're dealing only with redemption a lot of times because you think how bad things are and you get a little bit away from it. You better deal with eternity taking you all, redemption taking you all back into eternity. Right. All right, so listen to what he said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. What did he come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Because God is not a creation. Only in Christ is he. Christ, he is a creation. Because God is eternal in a spirit, and a spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God. And God redeemed that body. See, when he come down, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him. Now he come to redeem the body. Not because the body was sinful. He come to claim it. Because if he could claim that body, and that body was out of the same elements, he ate the fish, the dust of the earth, the prophet is explaining. His body was out of the earth. I believe he was spoken into existence, not out of the dirty earth, but that was that part. But when he began to eat, he became one with the world. And when he did, God came down on the River Jordan to do a marvelous, wonderful thing. He come down to redeem that body. All right? Now remember, there's 3 years between here, 3.5 years between this statement and the time that his body was finally made fully redeemed. That don't have nothing to do with it. God said it. When God said it, that's it. It didn't matter if he had to wait 3.5 years and go through the most horrible beatings and hungers and problems and troubles. That didn't have anything to do with it. That's where our trouble is. We're doing good when everything's running good. But when things start running bad, we begin to get the, what is Brother Forney, I like that, woozy, woozy, wowsy, wowsy. Yeah. Everybody was laughing at him Wednesday. Because he makes that point, you know, you get down at the mouth, you know, wowsy, wowsy, woo. Oh, I'm feeling so bad. Yeah. Look at the next one. Now remember the statement he makes in here. What did he come to do? To redeem that part of the earth.
Right. Amen.
All right. Future Home, page 44. When he went out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. He saw the heavens open, and here come descending out of heaven in the form of a dove and a voice saying. What?
Amen.
Now we read over there where it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Right? But when the prophet says it, what does he say? This, the dove, the voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. Now I'm reading it. Page 44, Future Home. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. For he is my word made manifest.
Right.
He's my word made manifest. I've redeemed his body. I've come to claim it. When I claimed it, I'm going to make that body eternal. And from that, you are going to come forth with a glorified body. Right. Now we talk. We love to talk about how we was in God. We love to talk about how that we was there with Adam, Moses and Abraham and David and all of that. And how that we was in Him. Well, where were we in Him? We wasn't in His body. If we'd have been in His body, there wouldn't have been no problem with redemption for us right now. We wasn't in His body. We was in Him in the spiritual extent of eternal life. And hadn't been released. And to do that, the body had to be pierced. To where that it would show that the blood and the water had done run to get together with a broken heart. That would release you and I. But not our bodies, not our physical bodies. But get one point now if you don't get nothing out of the message. I have come to redeem that part of the earth. And from that part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of the earth that I'm going to use. So that's your body. Okay? Now, to show you it took place, remember what I said. He claimed the body. Now, I got another one in here in a minute, and just don't read too far ahead of me. Stay here with me. But he come to claim that part of the earth that he was living in. And that part of the earth that he was living in claimed your body. Alright? Now, Brother Branham said that in the days of Noah, we're in the future home, the world was justified. Right?
Amen.
Chopped off, started another through the flood. Started another world, justified, wiped off that other. He said, and then the blood of Jesus Christ out of that body Now listen, are you following me? Out of that body that God come to claim, He took that body to Calvary. And hung on Calvary, and the blood dripped out. So the prophet said he was just, or said the world was justified in the days of Noah. He said the world was sanctified when Jesus dropped His blood on it. To what? To cleanse and claim. Because that's what sanctification means. Compound word. Cleanse and set aside. So then your body has already went through justification and sanctification. That's before you ever got it. Right? Yeah, but boy, I tell you what, we've been out wowsy, wowsy, woo, yeah. I'm having a lot of trouble with it. My trouble is me. I don't know about you. But your body is already cleansed and claimed. And when Jesus claimed it, what did He claim it for? Now you're listening. He cleansed and claimed this world. And your body and my body was in this world. All right. So He cleansed and claimed it. Okay? Let's just read a couple now. Look at number 9. It's on proving His word. Paragraph 183. All the scripture just jumped in the middle, and I'm just giving you what I've got underlined. You read the rest of it, see if it fits. He proved the word by saying He was Jehovah made manifest. He was the beginning of the creation of God. God in creation. See, there's the title of the message. God was a little part of the creation here that God was living in Himself. He was the beginning of that creation of God. From Him beget many sons. See? All right. Now. Number 10. Which is page 14 in North at Not, 1965, 815. God is the creator, and how was He created? But this is the beginning of the creation of God. When God the Spirit was created in the form of a man. That was God being created. God the creator becoming Him, God create the creator Himself becoming a creation. God who made the dirt, made the calcium, made the potassium, cosmic light and petroleum. Took the thing that, together and created Himself in the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen, the final. Amen means so be it, the final of God when He completed in His creation. Yeah. I got all these others down for a later message. So forgive me a second. Okay? I'll come back to these later on another message because I know I can't get it in this afternoon. Drop over to number 12 on your notes. And listen what your prophet had to say. Now keep in mind what we're dealing with. That body and the River Jordan and what took place. What took place on the River Jordan was God showing to the world who He was. Right?
Amen.
Making Himself known to the world. Showing Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Everything was shown on the River Jordan, right? Spirit descending like a dove, Son standing here, Spirit descending like a dove, voice from heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all in one. But what took place on that River Jordan? It's what I said, these brothers, they just keep preaching the River Jordan. Oh, He become God. He become God. Isn't it wonderful? But what about dealing with your body on the River Jordan? Your body on the River Jordan. Because whatever took place to his body on the River Jordan has got to do with your body that you're living in right now. Are you listening? So now listen and let's read. Proving His Word, 1964, 8, 16, paragraph 145, and then we'll read 146. Now we find that God came into this little blood cell, see, and He began to develop cells, drew from His mother's vitamins and things, as she, see, got everything through her from the world that she was eating. Then when He became old enough to eat Himself, He began to eat, and what is that? It's the dust of the earth, which you come up and plant life and animal life and so forth. And as He began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, it begins to develop cells. And then when it's fully matured at 30 years old, He was baptized in obedience to John down here, or to God, in the water and went out. What happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." What did He come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God, because God is not a creation only in Christ. He is a creation, because God is eternal and a spirit is not created. And He was the beginning of the creation of God, and God redeemed that body, see, when He come down. "This is My beloved Son." That's what He come to do, to redeem that body. Now watch it. Now let me state it again. He didn't have to redeem it because it was sinful. But remember one thing. His body was a mortal human body. A time element that had a beginning. His body was not eternal. His body was mortal. So it had to be made eternal. Alright, now listen. Go on reading that. So He, God, came down after going through this, and now ever Son, come on now, He's putting us in it, that you eat and born of a natural sex birth, the way you come, then when it comes to a place to where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism, then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims this creation. Are you listening? Claims your body when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Watch it now. The same as it did Him. The Holy Ghost and God is the same Spirit, see. It comes down to claim this body for the resurrection. He come down on the River Jordan and claimed that body for the resurrection. Didn't matter if it's 3.5 years later before it was made manifest. He come down to claim that body. All right. He hung on Calvary to release the blood, to sanctify the world, that would claim the world for the resurrection. What are you claiming it for? Like Brother Brown said about it one time, what do you want to be young again for? Something to that degree. Well, I'd like to be young again, wouldn't you? I can stand here today and say I'd rather stay my 67 years old. Well, Bud, you sure are messed up. Well, I always thought you was. Now I know you are. Well, I'm glad you finally figured it out. Because listen, you think you went through a hoopaloo time of living. You was living in the lust of your flesh. You was enjoying your pleasures of the flesh. You were not concerned with eternal life. Right? Let me stay where I'm at. Maybe some of you, if time lasts, you'll get old enough to even say that. I'm not throwing off on humanity and what we are. We lived. We enjoyed our life. We still enjoy our life. Right? But there's one thing that I got my mind on. The resurrection for this body. Now remember, your resurrection lays inside of you. So listen to Him what He says again now. The place where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism, then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims this creation. The same as it did Him. The Holy Ghost and God is the same Spirit, see? He comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. And He was raised for our justification. All the Father has given me will come. Not one will be lost. I'll raise it up at the last day. Not one hair of their head will ever perish. This is the beginning of the creation of God. Excuse me, that is the beginning of the creation of God. Is he talking about Him? What does it say? This is the continuation of the creation of God. Then the whole earth has to have a baptism. That's going to happen before the future home comes down, right? Because it's been cleansed and claimed. But today you receive the new birth. Not only did God redeem the soul, but by giving you the new birth, Danny, that new birth laid claim on that body you're living in. Why? Because He done it back there. He laid claim on our bodies in that doing back there. From this part of the earth, I'll redeem the rest of it. Future home, He said. See, when He give you the new birth, He's pleased to dwell. Or He's not giving it to you. That's why we don't believe in going and living like the devil and claiming a new birth. That's why Brother Brown said, sitting on the bar stool one night or playing in a rock and roll band and the next day up in the pulpit preaching, he said there's no such thing. Well, Brother Dale, you don't believe in people jumping up and having instant salvation? Yeah. I believe in it. But I believe in works going with it also. Especially when you get on the platform and the night before you're shaking, rattling, rolling. And then you get on the platform and you start to preach and what do you want to do? Shake and rattle and roll. You haven't lost anybody yet. You haven't died. You only become anointed. That's why the prophet said that's not correct. You don't put a man in the pulpit that's a novice. But the Bible says about it. Let him sit down and study a while. I've told you the whole story. I told you that God told me Wade would be standing in the pulpit with me, but did I try to put him in the pulpit? No, I let him fight it out for about a year before I even told him anything about what God had told me. See, a lot of people, God told me you're going to be, you, come on son, now let me tune you, preach training, let me do, no, you know what, ask him what I told him. Ask him what I told him when he told me that he believed God called him to preach. I said, run, 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 run. When he runs you down, you'll be worth something. But you see, Brother Brown said, that's not correct. Why? Because there is a lot to do with this body. But when he gave you the new birth, don't you think you're going to get a new body. That's what I can't understand about the people of the message even believe that after all Brother Branham said about it. And still believing you're going to get a new body. I don't understand that. Because you see, if he come down and cleansed and claimed you, Brother Richard, what's he going to get a new one for? What did he cleanse it and claim it? What did he work on it for? You're making God a murderer because he's cleaning somebody up and then killing him. That's what he's doing. He's cleaning you up, getting you cleaned up, fit enough to do something, then going to destroy you. No, see, it won't work. We see on the River Jordan a great wonderful thing happen. Did he come down and cleansed and claimed? That part of the earth that he lived in was cleansed and claimed. And that's why throughout the 3.5 years of his life, he kept that body under subjection to the one that was living within him. And when he did, he had already made a way, so he had to finish it. Now listen. Are you listening then? He made a way to cleanse and claim that body, so he had to finish it to prove that it was right, or bring it to a manifestation or a reality. And to do that, he's doing the same thing for you. Because you see, he went to Calvary with not his own will. The will of the flesh was to live. It desired to live. But the spirit that was within him says, we must follow the word. So he gave his life. But the resurrection was in him. Are you listening? That's what your prophet said. He done that to where he could resurrect that. He claimed that body for the resurrection. And in the resurrection, he took that body not only from resurrection, he took it on into glorification. For you and I. That's why I said the other day, I keep saying it. Revelation 4:1, where did John go? John went where Jesus went. That's where he went. He went where Jesus went. Now where'd he go? But listen. He cleansed and claimed the earth. Alright, now listen. To cleanse and claim the earth would mean one day the earth itself would get a fiery baptism. Right? Why? Because it's cleansed and claimed. It can't stay in that position. It can't stay just that cleansed and claimed. So there has to be a fiery baptism come. Now, if the River Jordan was the cleansing and the claiming, and that was the eternal life that they say that made him God, where are you going to get the fiery baptism? You see, they've left a lot out of redemption and think they've got something to thrill the hearts of the people. But listen, just because this world was cleansed and claimed and my body was in it, that would only, listen now, are you waking up? That would only bring me to a position for the world, the whole world. I wouldn't be no different in the world. I wouldn't be no different than anybody else that would ever get eternal life. Right? Now did you get what I meant by that? He cleansed and claimed the whole world. If that's all we're dealing with, we're just waiting on the world. And then we can go with the world. But he didn't do that. He went up, delivered the body to stay as a sacrifice, an eternal body. He went through the resurrection, the change in the ascension, the glorification, and left the body. He come back to start the work in you. To give you a thoughts of a new creation. He come back to where that he could justify us. Chop off our past sins. He could sanctify us or cleanse and claim the soul. You're not talking about the body now. I hope you caught what I said there a while ago. If you're just dealing with cleanse and claiming with the body, if you don't bring that down to an inward experience first, Then you're just waiting on the world to be made eternal and you'll be eternal. No. He didn't leave it that way, Sister Trudy. He went right up and come right back to start a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creature in Christ Jesus by the new birth. Not just coming to cleanse and claim your soul. But to come and make, you're not a new creature at justification. You're not a new creature at sanctification. You're a new creature by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It makes your soul eternal, gives you eternal life. Put that eternal life in your body now. Now your resurrection's inside of you. By the new birth, your resurrection's inside of you. But now we've got to bring the body under subjection to the spirit that's within us. Well, I just can't help doing what I'm doing. Well, why don't you get born again? I just can't quit this drinking. I never did have any trouble with it. What's my problem? Yeah, but you just don't understand. My body's more powerful. Like a man asked me, I was thinking about it this morning, a man asked me one day, he said, can a homosexual be saved? I said, yeah. But he won't remain a homosexual. And he's kind of like, you know, he just didn't quite agree with that. I said, well, then do you think that a prostitute gets converted and can go on being a prostitute? He said, well, no. I said, well, then a homosexual can't go on being a homosexual. According to the law, I'm the only one that can say that now. Y'all can't say it. As of right now. But listen, when you receive that new birth wouldn't just cleansing and claiming your soul, that is your soul eternal by the new birth, a new creature. But then it put a claim back out on this body. That's why I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Is that what the Bible says? I have no right to allow my body to control me. Hey, come on, we're human being people. You know what I'm talking about. We live, we are human, we're husband, wife, we're eating, we're working for a living. Well, right, we're human beings. But we don't have to let it control us. Why? Because the resurrection's inside of you. That new birth, I don't know no other word than to say it, but this is plain language. When God gave you the new birth, He deposited eternal life inside of you, right? And by depositing eternal life inside of that body, you think you're going to have to get you a new one? No. It laid cleansed and claimed it, just like it did the River Jordan. Cleansed and claimed the body you're living in. Now all we got to do is just bring this under subjection. He was the beginning of the creation. This is the continuation of that creation. 14 on your notes. Maybe I can hurry up and catch most of this. Then what's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the same Spirit of God dwelling in the people whom He has died for to put their names on the Lamb's Book of Life, which they were one with Him in the beginning. The Scripture said so. But did not Jesus tell them that they were with Him before the foundation of the world? Your minds are blackened and darkened. We are all are to those things. But we're just not some little coincidence happening here. Listen. We are the sons and daughters of God in the beginning of the creation of God. And not just a coincidental happening. Let me just get the last one. You read the ones in between. While you're getting our power of transformation, Brother Brown says, we're on our road back, number 15 on your notes, to that original beginning of the creation of God, back to the Garden of Eden again, husband and wife, without What? Without any sin or anything to live eternally. All right, look at the last one and we'll cover this and quit. Page 336 of the Church Age book. Now he is standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, listen, he calls himself the author or the creation of God. And remember the beginning of the creation of God, the author of creation. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. So you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. It has to do with the church. Listen to him. But like, this is what I love. This is a special designation of himself. He's the beginning of the creation of God. We're the rest of that creation. But it's a special designation of himself. Because he's the one that made it. So that you and I could be it. He's not dealing. See, the old man, the middle, right there where the 10's at. There, you can see that though man was of the old order of creation, now in union with Christ Jesus, he has become the new creation of God, Ephesians 2:10. He's not dealing though by... See, this is another creation. New creation. It's another creation. Distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham and Abraham's issue through the godly line. Godly line. But now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He's the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of a man. Now by his Spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. God the Creator created himself a part of the creation. This is the true revelation of God. This is the true revelation of God. What? The rest of the creation. Come on, Brother Dick, let's think. The rest of the creation. The continuation of the creation. He was the beginning of the creation in flesh. You and I begin in a spiritual creation by the new birth. But we will, in the resurrection, rapture, and change, we will come to a new creation to finish the creation of God in flesh. Let's stand. In flesh. The prophet said this royal seed, I'm trying to think where it's at, it's in Church Age book, I believe. This royal seed in the resurrection will see more royal seed like unto himself. Why? Because we're going to have glorified bodies like his glorified body. Then the plan of redemption is complete. Then he's my brother. See, that resurrection, that's what took place down there on the River Jordan. He claimed that for the resurrection. He gave you the new birth to claim your body for a resurrection. Put the resurrection inside of you. Now waiting on us to just walk into it. Is to walk into the Word and let it be made manifest. Some of us were talking about what would it be when this Word that we believe becomes incarnate in us. We're going to walk off of here. You say, well, I just don't see very much. No, but the little bit I see is the part of God. The little bit you see is a part of God. What about when we all get it together? What about what I said this morning when all of the stones of the temple was placed in place, all the musicians got in place, all of the singers got in place, all of the priests, all of the people, everything got in perfect place. Then when it did, the Word come walking through. Went right over into its place in the socket inside the Holy of Holies. And then the Shekinah glory fell. That they couldn't even minister. They couldn't sing. They couldn't worship because of the Shekinah glory. But it was after all the stones was in place. See, I'm not looking for, now just listen to the wording, I'm not looking for the big move of God that everybody seems to be looking for it in the message. I'm looking for a greater move than that. All right? To show you I'm not in wrong alley. I'm looking for a greater than what they're looking for, but I'm looking for it when we all get into place. The prophet said God will do in 1 year what theologists tried to do in 2000, but he said he's doing it now. I expect a move to sweep among us. Like I've always told you, you mean the dead will raise and we'll sit around and look at each other? I just saw Brother Branham walk through. Whoopee. No. No. Don't you worry about that time. No wonder the prophet said one day your jobs won't be very much important then. Because you won't have your mind on going to work. You'll have your mind on thinking, well, can I, and I don't mean this wrong, can I call in tomorrow and ask for a day off because I'd rather spend it with Jimmy Gibson talking about the resurrection. Right? I'd rather spend it with Robert Tatum speaking of the resurrection and what took place. And you?
Amen.
Right? Go ahead, Brother Dick.
15
in the Red Book. Think on these things. The rapture in that blessed on high, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll raise the heavenly anthems in that city
in the
sky, are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow. Made possible by the Lord Jesus. We are the continuation of the creation of God. On the streets of gold, our gathering is. What music, oh, what singing, o'er the city. Anybody have a need? Are you a part of that new creation? This is speaking of the church, he said. We are the continuation of that creation. Psalms 139, in continuous was my members fashioned when as yet not perfect. Now it's coming to perfection, our completion. For they cannot see. For they don't know what it is to be redeemed. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed, look at that last one now, then the Savior will give order to prepare. He's doing that right now. The wedding supper's at hand. The redeemed, shake hands with one another and sing it. Gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed. Now just raise your hands and wave it to him and sing it. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. I believe we're gathering now. So many blessings undeserved, that's what we are. We ought to thank him. love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. He's good, isn't he?
Good.
To give us so many blessings. That's what we are. We ought to thank him. Love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Why? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what we are. We ought to thank him. Love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Who are we? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are the people of his kingdom. We are family. We are one. Amen. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings, to reveal to us who we are while we're still here. While we're still here, we get the revelation that we are the continuation of that creation. A new creation. No longer dealing by the ways of the old, because he could not deal with them in their soul. He could only anoint their spirit and work with them. But now by the new birth, he comes and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new domain. A new kingdom. A place for God to dwell. That's the revelation of this day. Not something to come, but to be here. Amen. Think on these things. Think on these things. Amen. 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 Let's just take the prayer cloth and you can give it to her. They'll send it to her. Father, you know the desire upon June's heart. For this one, Lord, has a very, very special need. Lord Jesus, we pray that the next word we get will be that all is well. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else before we go? Silent, holy night, shepherds wait at the sound. What a glorious time. Of not the world's form of Christmas, but that we can have Christmas all year. Because all year long we can talk about our Savior. Think on these things. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth. This one, Lord, that has a great need. Let it be that you won't have to be operated on. Let everything be well. And the honor and glory be to you, Lord. In Jesus is your name. Anybody else?
Jesus, Lord, it's
time. You're dismissed. Pray one for another. Remember, the service is Wednesday. Have a very Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful time in the Lord. See you Wednesday, the Lord willing. Father, just bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. In Jesus' name.